Upheaval, breaking point, chapter 31, irreparable damage. In the centuries he had spent in this world, few things ever disconcerned Prince Tirado. He had seen the monsters that lurked the lands outside Equestria, and the ones that lurked within it. He had seen incredible acts of might and magic, and he had seen the best and the worst that his own ponies were capable of. All of these things he had looked upon with, at best, mild surprise. Now, staring at the pair of pony-shaped flames before him, being disconcerned was far too inadequate a word for what he felt. It was still early morning when he received word that a brief fire had broken out by the western side of Bastion City. As soon as the legionnaires that had brought the message had left, two Aquae Ignae materialized before him. His first reaction was to brace himself for a fight. When they just stood there, curiosity took over fighting instincts.
"What are you doing here?"
he had asked. He had not merely meant his realm, but the very world he was in. One of them answered in its own tongue, and Tirado was glad that these two had waited until he was alone. He didn't want to lose legionnaires to either deafness or insanity. These two were apparently acting as messengers and escorts. He had expected, at first, that it was his own parents that were sending for him, when they told him that it was Celestia. Concern for his eldest sister overrode everything else.
"She summoned you, didn't she?"
he asked.
"How many of you did she call up? For what purpose would she need the Aquae Ignae?"
The two didn't speak right away.
"Answer me!"
One of them answered. Its tone was respectful, but far from cowed. The Aquae Ignae respected Alicorns, but were not beholden to them as mortal ponies were. It was all but impossible to cow beings that could stand in the presence of the king and queen. Tirado's eyes narrowed at the response. Precaution. He sneered at the idea. Precaution against what? He was his sister's defender. What threat could possibly make her think that she needed something besides... He paused, then stared at the two beings before him. His sister wanted to meet with him alone, in her realm, while surrounded by Aquae Ignae she had summoned. If he didn't know any better, he'd think that she was trying to assassinate him. He knew what the summons was for. She wanted to test his loyalty, to question him while he was stripped of his protection and outside his realm.
"It's me," he whispered. "I'm the threat she summons him for."
The Aquae Ignae waited silently. The lights that served as their eyes showed no emotion over the increasing anger of the pony they faced.
"No," he answered in a low tone. "Tell her I'm busy, in case she's forgotten to remind her that I'm in the middle of dealing with a crisis."
The Aquae Ignae spoke again. To his annoyance, Tirado felt the magic around the area distort as they did so. Celestia wanted Twilight Sparkle and her friends back in the Heartland.
"And so another plan turns around and bites your flank, Celestia," he thought.
It was unlikely that any of the banished chosen would submit themselves to a memory lock. That would leave Celestia two options. She could imprison them somewhere, or she was willing to risk spreading word by trusting them not to say anything and letting them loose. Tirado scoffed at the latter. If Celestia had been willing to do that, they wouldn't be in this mess. He also couldn't imagine Celestia locking up her chosen either.
"It's not that summoning the Aquae Ignae was high in my list of things Celestia is most likely to do," he thought.
Why would she be so desperate to get them back anyway? Did she miss Twilight Sparkle that horribly? An unbearable onset of guilt? The answer hit him. The elements of harmony. He had sensed the power within them when he met them face to face. It made sense now. Celestia was trying to get the elements of harmony away from him in some deluded attempt to prevent his imaginary attack. The thought was infuriating. Did 1,000 years of devoted protection mean nothing at all?
Twilight Sparkle is neither her property nor mine, Torado replied.
He kept his voice calm just to match the formalities that they showed him.
I'd ask you to talk to her yourself to get her answer, but I'm not willing to risk blowing her brains up, so I'll clue you in. Luna was here and she tried to convince them to go to a safe place. They refused. I asked them to stay in my fortress until Celestia called them back. They refused. Regardless of how they got here, they are staying on their own volition. I'm not going to insult them by asking a third time.
The Equi Ignes spoke again. Their formality belied a persistence that only worsened Terada's mood.
I don't give a crap if you won't take no for an answer, he roared.
His voice caused the entire building to shake, and bits of dust fell to the floor.
You glorified cinders can't touch them anyway. If you have a problem with how I run things in my realm, I'll be happy to face you in battle right here and now.
His voice lowered to a growl.
Now go back to your summoner before I actually lose my temper.
The Equi Igne lingered for a few moments more, before simply fading out like dying bonfires.
Hold,
Torado said. The flickering flames remained after he called out to them. In between leaving and staying, they looked more a small collection of guttering candle flames than blazing otherworldly entities. He softened his tone.
If my words mean anything at all to her, tell Celestia that I have been and always will be devoted to her.
The flickering flames completely faded out, leaving him alone in his makeshift audience hall. He rubbed his temples with his hoofs. Who was he kidding? Of course his words meant nothing to her. If they did, she'd be talking to him through a magical image instead of sending messages through summoned beings. He wished he could have gone with them. He didn't care if he had to go alone and face Celestia while surrounded by Equi Igne she summoned. He would have risked it just to actually stand in her physical presence instead of relying on magical images. But he couldn't go. Not after last night's incident. That crafty, flea-bitten mongrel, Fenrir, had been hiding some trick up his sleeve. Bastion City was raided by a familiar presence, one that he still remembered, despite not feeling it for so long. Nightmare Moon was around, and Fenrir managed to keep her presence hidden. He couldn't risk abandoning Bastion City now. Terado frowned and thought it through carefully. Fenrir possessed some modicum of honor, but he was not above manipulating the pact. Nightmare Moon was not involved in their agreement, giving her free rein to attack the Legion using her new unicorn host. He realized how fortunate he was now that the elements of harmony had come to the Barrier Lands. He would have to rely on them. The thought of using Twilight Sparkle and her friends like weapons proved to be an unpleasant one. Celestia would certainly not forgive him for the things he would have to do for the sake of protecting her. But the truth is, she's never forgiven you for going out to fight yourself. Torado let out a sigh. Luna was right. He was deluding himself. He had been out of Celestia's favor on the very first day he had led the Legion into its first battle, and he had been fighting the impossible battle of trying to get back into her good graces ever since. He struck the floor with a hoof, giving the walls of the Grand Meeting Hall a good shaking, and cursed at the presence of the Equi Igne. In addition to showing him how much Celestia distrusted him, they reminded him of old times back in the Eternal Herd, times when he didn't have to concern himself with being the defender of Equestria. He closed his eyes and tried to look past centuries of fighting and killing. He tried to remember galloping through the endless rolling plains of Alice, where the golden grass tasted sweeter than any mortal food. Flying through the marble, cloud-covered mountains of Bytas, where springs of crystalline water flowed forth. Then there was Imperia, the glorious city to which the seven heavenly rivers flowed. Here their parents ruled over the eternal herd. Most of all, he tried to remember Celestia standing right next to him. He tried to see her laughing and having fun, her bright pink mane flowing behind her like sea foam, gently caressing her lustrous white coat. How he missed those days.
"Perhaps it's time to go home," Tirado muttered.
Their stay here was tearing them apart. No, it had already torn them apart. The damage may well be permanent. He dreaded the prospect of standing before the king and queen and explaining how it all came about. Rainbow Dash flew swiftly through the row of poles, zigzagging through them with ease. As she did so, she took out her crossbow, took aim, fired at the targets lined up at the sides of the training ground, then reloaded without slowing down. Bolts flew towards their targets in rapid succession and, by the time she reached the end of the training ground, 5 woven cutouts had been shot at. She wiped the sweat off her brow and looked back at her hoofwork. 2 out of 5 targets had been struck. 2 of her shots were close, and 1 was wide. It was far from a perfect, but it was certainly an improvement. Ever since the initial attack, she hadn't flown into battle at all. She didn't like how she had performed that last time, panicking, spacing out, getting grazed. It was her first time in a fight, but she still felt embarrassed. Right now, the lack of opportunities to put the dismal performance behind her was making her giddy. She had to focus all her pent-up aggression on training, and it showed in the mass of practice bolts scattered all across her section of the training grounds. Then she heard a distant boom coming from somewhere in the city. It sounded like the rumble of thunder, and she was about to fly off to investigate when she heard her flight captain call her name.
"You're a quick learner, Rainbow Dash,"
Tailwind called out from the ground.
"It hasn't been a week since you first held that weapon, and you're handling it well."
Beaming inside, Rainbow saluted, then landed just in front of Tailwind.
"Did you hear that loud noise, Flight Captain?"
she asked.
"It sounded like an explosion."
"Sounds more like our prince being a bit upset," Tailwind replied.
"Never mind, come along, we've got work to do."
Rainbow followed from behind as Tailwind walked towards the center of the training grounds, where the rest of their flight was training.
"Flight Dreadwing, fall in,"
Tailwind shouted. There was a brief scramble. In a few seconds, every Pegasus in the area had lined up.
"Last night, the Woven tried to launch a raid on our city. Thanks to that stupid son of mine and Twilight Sparkle, they didn't get much done. We've been ordered to pay them back with a raid of our own, along with Flight Storm Dawn. I want every pony to be ready. We'll be hitting one of their exposed supplies by sundown. Is that understood?"
"Yes, ma'am,"
the flight answered in unison. Rainbow saluted once more, then went back to training once they were dismissed. Twilight had done it again. For all her squeamishness about what they had to do, she had been the one getting the most done out of all of her friends and making a name for herself. Rainbow felt a little envious. Just how many Woven did Twilight incinerate this time? And that was assuming she was still using the same spell. Knowing her, she probably had 10 more combat spells down pat.
"Well, here's my chance to shine,"
Rainbow thought. She'll have to find a way to distinguish herself in this raid. She couldn't let Twilight get all the glory.
"Hey, Rainbow Dash!"
Rainbow was about to have another go at the shot on the wing course when a familiar voice caught her attention. She looked to her right and found Scarlet Rabbit nearby.
"Are you following me?"
she asked. The question, along with attached annoyance, bounced off Scarlet Rabbit as if she had been throwing pieces of crumpled paper at him. He reminded her a bit of Pinkie Pie, if Pinkie was a hardened killer of a soldier.
"It's going to be your first raid tonight," he said. "Excited?"
"Well..."
Rainbow was about to say yes when she hesitated. An image of her friends looking at her came to mind. Applejack and Twilight Sparkle were looking away. Rarity, Fluttershy, and Pinkie Pie just looked in concern, unable to understand what was bothering her. They didn't say a word, but she could see the disapproval and worry. Worst of all, she could see traces of disgust and fear. They were judging her, and she didn't like it. It wasn't her fault that she couldn't feel the same guilt as they did during the last fight.
"They're the ones in the wrong, not me,"
she thought.
They were ponies of the barrier lands now, and they should be adjusting, not clinging to their ways, when they only knew of the heartland.
Yeah,
she answered with a resolve that surprised even her.
I am excited.
Scarlet nodded a little confused at first, then matched her enthusiasm with a grin.
Great! We're going to have a blast while burning down their supply wagons. I might even show you how to swoop down and pick up Wolven so you can throw them to their deaths. Wait a minute. Why are you coming? You're not from Flight Redwing or Stormdawn.
Didn't Flight Captain Tailwind tell you?
I'm coming along to help out with raids. Besides, I used to be Flight Redwing.
That doesn't count.
Oh, yeah? I may be in Special Operations now, but I'm more Flight Redwing than you.
Scarlet shot back. He fiddled with his harness until he pulled out what looked like a medal and showed it to Rainbow Dash proudly. She took a good look. The medal was gold and shaped into a stylized feathered wing with a pony skull embossed at its base. Flight Redwing's symbol.
You're not really a member of the flight until you get one of these, he said.
Rainbow's eyes widened. She could just imagine the insignia on her harness.
How do I get one then? She asked.
She didn't even bother disguising the desire in her tone.
Tailwind gives them to any pony in the flight who fulfills one of her three tasks. What are those?
A 50 woven kill count. Don't ask me how she knows, she just does.
There's also having a 20 woven kill count in a single mission. Or you could do what I did.
What's that?
Take down a Bracurus.
Rainbow Dash swallowed.
Bracurus? She asked.
As in those really big white ones that hang around their rear lines?
Yup. They're not just big, they can jump really high and catch you when you think you're flying out of reach. They're tough enough to take an entire case of bolts without slowing down, and they can rip you apart as if you were made of paper, if they don't just swallow you in one big gulp.
How did you kill one then?
By being really awesome.
I timed my shot just as it was about to bite me and put a bolt right down its gullet.
Rainbow looked at Scarlet carefully to see if he was making things up. Bracuri were the strongest of the Wolven. They didn't even belong to the list that Pegasi worked down on when picking Wolven targets. They were just too big and too strong. Taking one down required coordinated efforts from different ponies. It was hard to tell if he was lying. Scarlet was always smiling and cheery. He talked about killing 50 Wolven as if he was talking about collecting stamps. She admired that trait a little. He was certainly the opposite of Twilight Sparkle and the others, who blanched at the thought of killing even one Wolven.
"Say, Scarlet," she said.
"Hmm?
Do you ever feel bad about killing Wolven?"
Scarlet scoffed.
"Of course not," he replied. "Nothing gets me more pumped than flying into a furious fight, putting bolts through Wolven skulls, dropping a few to their deaths, then reporting how awesome I was to the captain."
He flew about in place, barely able to contain his own excitement.
Rainbow hovered backwards a bit. She expected that from Scarlet somehow. What she didn't expect was feeling reassured by the response.
"But they're still living creatures, right?"
she asked.
"Of course they are. You can't kill something that isn't living, right?"
He paused from his antics and stared at Rainbow, his eyes narrowing.
"You have to stop getting little details like feeling sorry for Wolven get you down, Rainbow Dash. They'll only slow you down. The slow don't last long in the barrier land skies."
"I'm not slow," Rainbow snapped.
"I'll show you. 20 Wolven, 50 Wolven, even a Bracurus. I'll kill them and get that insignia, and it'll look more awesome on me than you."
Scarlet's grin widened.
"Sounds like a plan," he said. "But you should lighten up. Take some joy out of these things."
He put on a mock sagely face.
"You're going to be doing this for a long time. If you can't take joy in doing it, you'll go crazy. Being a legionnaire's only a drag if you let it."
Rainbow returned the grin and glanced at her crossbow.
"I think I will,"
she said. Perhaps she had misjudged Scarlet Rabbit. At first she thought that he was a little crazy for being so cheery despite all the carnage around him. Now that she thought about it, perhaps he made a lot more sense than her friends. He'd been living his entire life fighting the Wolven. He was the fastest flyer of the Northern Equestrian Legion. For now. He was obviously doing successfully in the Legion. His feelings on the matter were closer to hers than her friends were. He must be right. He had to be right. It was Twilight and the others who had to understand and adjust.
Tell you what, Scarlet continued. If you can kill even 5 Woven on tonight's raid, I'll treat you to a drink over at Stormbrew's. The only thing as exciting as a bloody fight is a round of celebrationary drinks over at Stormbrew's.
Deal,
Rainbow replied.
You'd better get your bits ready.
The two of them continued chatting while Rainbow resumed her training drills. Now, more than ever, she was determined to sharpen her skills and catch up to Scarlet Rabbit. No, not just catch up. She was going to overtake him. She was going to be faster, more awesome, and a better legionnaire than he was. She flapped her wings quickly, relishing the sudden lightness she felt. If she threw away even trying to feel guilty over killing, she just might be able to do it. Maybe that was the secret of Scarlet's speed.